many of you feel blessed to be in the house of God today? Come on now, make some noise. We're in this part of our series now that it's going to get a little heavy. I'm warning you right now. And let's go to Numbers chapter 13, beginning at verse 27. The Israelites went to this land that Moses had commanded to go out and spy. When they went out to this land, they said, "Moses, you're right. This land does flow with milk and honey. It's very fruitful." Notice verse 27. They said, "Here's the fruit." So there was evidence. How many of you believe that God will give you the evidence of something great to come? This is what God was saying. Here's the evidence. I have not led you wrong. I have not led you astray. This land is what I said it was, and this land is yours because the promises of God are already yours. It's there. But God said now in verse 28, "But the people who live there, they're powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites lived there, the Nadiv, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites lived there in the hill country of the Canaanites. Everyone lives there." So he was saying, you know what? There's all these enemies everywhere. But verse 30, the Bible says, "But Caleb silenced the people." How many of you know that there's some people in your life that need to be silenced? "Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of this land, for we can certainly do it.'" Notice the mindset, because there were other people here telling everyone, "We can't do it. It's too difficult. It's too hard. It's impossible. Let's give up." But Caleb looked at the very same thing and said, "We can do it." It's all about your perception. And verse 31, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak.'" And notice this powerful phrase, "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Let me ask you this question. If it's all about your perception of life, then how much more powerful is it with your perception of yourself? How do you perceive yourself? Chapter 14, verse 1. "That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and they wept out loud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to tell us to fall by the sword? Why is God misleading us?'" Notice the deception. "Our wives and children will be taken as plunder." So they're assuming the worst for their lives, because your perception will determine how you view your life. And if you have a negative perception, you will begin to have a negative mindset, and you'll begin to speak negative and even act negative. And they said, "This is going to happen, and this is going to happen." And they have completely forgot that God promised them this land. It's all about perception. "Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." And finally, verse 21, and then we'll pray. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, as surely as I live," this is God talking now, "as surely as I live, nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of these men who saw my glory and the miraculous sign I performed in Egypt and in the desert, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land of promise." In other words, God says, not one of you will see the promises I had for you. How many of you want that for your life? "No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it." Let's pray. Father, as we go into this series now of mourning, I pray that you bless this word that you help me preach today, and that you really just show us what you showed me this week. Bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. For me, this is one of the saddest stories in the Bible. And trust me, there's a lot of sad ones. But for me, this is one of the saddest stories because imagine you're living in this land for years. You've been a slave. You've been in bondage. But then God delivers you out of this slavery. You're in this new mindset that life is going to get better. And God has a great plan for you. And everything's going to be great. And all of a sudden, these people are walking through the desert. They're seeing God deliver them. They're seeing God provide for them. There's all this excitement. When they left Egypt, the Bible says, they grabbed their instruments. They were worshiping. They were happy. They were glad. Do you remember a time in your life that you just believed in the promises of God and you were overwhelmed with joy, that you just praised and worshiped Him? But this is a sad story because in the end of this generation, this first generation that God wanted to bless and God wanted to change and God wanted to provide a great living for, this generation would die, never have seen the promises of God. This generation would die never seeing what God had for them. It's sad because they stood right in front of it. They saw that God was not lying to them, that this land was real. They said it does flow with milk and honey. This land is fruitful. This land is everything God said. And it was right in front of them. But what's so sad is that even though they stood in front of it and they knew about it and they saw it, they never obtained it. The Bible says that God says, not one of you will see my promise. And they died. How many of you believe that you can die not fulfilling the promises of God? Do you know that you can die and miss what God had for you? You can die and miss His plans and His will. You can die and never have experienced the greatness of what God had in store for you. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be this generation that only believes in the promises and talks about the promises and wants the promises, but never truly sees it or experiences it or lives it out. When I started reading this passage, I started really asking myself, what was the problem? Because I want to warn you about something today, but I can't tell you just yet. Can you guys be patient? What was the problem? At first glance, it seemed like the problem was the desert. The desert was just big and it was dry and it was empty. But see, that wasn't the problem because God provided food and water for them and provision and protection. So the desert wasn't the problem. So I couldn't blame the desert like you can't blame your condition. Some of you say, oh, it's my home, it's my childhood, it's my parents, it's this, it's that. It's the condition I was raised in. It's the condition I grew up in. It was the condition of my past. You can't blame your condition for the lack of promise in your life. And then I said, oh, I know what it was. It's the giants. It had to have been. God said that they were bigger than them. And that was true. And I said, that wasn't right. But it must have been the giants. They were bigger, they were stronger, they were mightier. They had weapons, the Israelites didn't. They were outnumbered. But even God told them, you can overtake them. You can conquer them. So let me tell you, for those who want to blame condition, you can't. And for those who want to blame people, you can't. Some of you want to blame your parents, you want to blame your friend, you want to blame your spouse, you want to blame your coworker, you want to blame someone in your past, someone from a church, a person in your life that you said, because of them, I can't cross over. Notice they looked at these people and they said, because of these people, I can't do it. But God said, yeah, you can. You can overcome whatever someone did to you. So I said, okay, God, you've eliminated the condition. It's not the condition and the circumstances around you. So if that's you, stop it. You can't blame the people in your life for where you're at and why you're not where you're supposed to be. You can't blame the people in your life for why you're stuck in the same problem. So I started really looking at this scripture and I said, God, what is it? It's not the desert. It's not the people. It wasn't the lack of what they had, because the Bible says that God had given them provision. And let me tell you, another group of people is those that say, I am where I am and I'm stuck today and I'm miserable because I was never given the opportunity. And I was lacking. But that wasn't it, because the Bible said that God literally gave them gold and money in the middle of a desert. The Bible said that God gave them provision and shelter. So who do you think the problem is? It's not people. It's not circumstances.
Perception,
no. Can I keep preaching? You're not going to get it. The problem was not the giants. It wasn't the desert. It wasn't the lack in their life. And what's so sad is that these people would die in this desert only thinking of what they could have been. What they should have been. Does that sound like you this morning? Are you listening online right now and you're saying, I could have been this, I could have done that, I could have accomplished this, I should have had this life, I should have had kids, I should have been married, I should have had that promotion, I should have been healthier, I should have been healed, I could have been better, I could have fought this addiction, I could have done this, I could have accomplished that? How many of you are should have and could have and would have people today? God hates that. And this is the generation that died only saying, we could have been in the promised land. We should have had that land. We should have had a better life. But we died. Stuck. Can I warn you about this now? I'm not. Just wait. Because what I'm going to warn you about this morning is destroying people's lives. It's destroying families. It's destroying marriages. See, because the Israelites, this is what I noticed about them. The Israelites were free. They were free from Egypt, were they not? Say yes, Pastor. They were free from Egypt. God literally delivered them from slavery. How many believe that God has delivered you? How many believe that God has set you free? Can we praise Him for a second for those moments that He has set you free? He set you free from your bondage. He set you free from your past. God has set you free from your past and everything that has held you. But here's the problem. The Israelites were free, but they were still miserable. The Israelites were free, and yet they were still negative. The Israelites were free, but they had lost their joy. See, today, you can say right now, Christ has set you free from your sin, which He has. You can say He has set you free from your bondage. He has delivered you from your past. But see, delivery and salvation does not mean joy. Because even though they were set free, they were miserable. So you might be here today in this church and you're saying, Pastor, I've been set free. I'm saved. God delivered me back in this time and this season. God has set me free from this and He set me free from that. And you can be set free today. But my question is, are you like this generation of Israelites that were set free, but they were stuck? They were set free from their past, but they weren't living in their destiny. They were set free from Egypt, but they never crossed over to the promised land, and they were in the middle between what they could have been and what they weren't anymore. And I wonder this morning, how many of you are in that middle? That you've been set free from your past, but you're not living out the future God cried that Jesus died for you to have. And you're just stuck in this middle. And though you might be saved and born again and in the church and set free, you're saying, Pastor, I'm still miserable. I have no joy. I have no peace. I'm negative. I'm discouraged. I'm stuck. I still have bondage. I still have people in marriages that are stuck. I have people in this church that are in financial crisis that are stuck. But they're free. So what's the problem? Is it possible today that God is telling you you can be set free and still in bondage? You can be set free and still stuck because you're not living the life I want you to live? You can see the promises, you can talk about the promises, but my question to you this morning, do you want to obtain the promises of God? Or do you just want to live your life dreaming about it, wishing about it, desiring about it, and complaining about it? Or do you want to truly cross over that realm where you're living out the destiny that God has for you? What's the problem? You ready to be warned? Here's a clue. It's 18 inches. Can you guess what it is? It's from your head to your heart. 18 inches is what separates you from the destiny of God. 18 inches from here to here. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? The battle was not the desert. The battle was not the giants. The battle was not the Egyptian. The battle wasn't Pharaoh. The battle wasn't any of the problems. The battle wasn't the Red Sea. The problem was their mindset. Let me explain to you what I mean by the 18 inches that separates you from the destiny of God. There's 18 inches between your head and your heart. And in the Bible, your heart represents your emotions and your head represents your thoughts. And that's the battle between you right now. Every day there is a battle between what you feel and what you know. There is a battle between what you feel and how you think. And just because you think a certain way doesn't mean you feel a certain way. Just because you know something doesn't mean you feel it. And the problem with the Israelites is that they were more controlled by their emotions than what they knew about God. They were led by what they felt. And we always hear things like, follow your heart. Go with your heart. What does your heart say? How many of you know some of those stupid quotes? If you want to live a destructive life, follow your heart. If you want to lose peace and joy and you want to live a life of insanity, go with your heart. Because this is what the problem was with the Israelites. They were controlled by what they felt. You see, you can't always control what you feel, but you can control how you act. And Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says something profound. It's wisdom. It says, the heart, can we all say the heart? The heart is deceitful. Above all things, beyond cure. Let me tell you something about your heart. It will never be cured. Your emotions will never be cured. It's not that a certain emotion can't be cured. You can be cured from depression. You can be cured from anxiety. You can be cured from any mental illness. I believe that with all my heart. But if you ever think there's a place in your life that you're always going to have all your thoughts right, you don't know God. God says the heart is deceitful and it's beyond cure. You're always going to have a negative emotion in your life. Do you believe that? How many of you woke up with a negative emotion today? How many of you had a negative emotion this week? All of us will have a negative emotion. I never feel bad thoughts. I am so close to God. My thoughts are always aligned with Him. God says that is not true. The heart is deceitful above all things. That word deceitful is a Hebrew word that literally means crooked. God says your heart is crooked. So if you want to live a crooked life, follow your little crooked heart. Go by your emotions. But Pastor, I feel it. But don't you know that what you feel is not always reality? And if you are led by what you feel, you are going to live a crooked life. We live in this society that says, go with your feelings. It's kind of like Jacob and his father. When he tried to deceive him, he put on his twin brother, the evil twin, Danny, he put on his brother's coat. Pretty much to feel, he made his own garments of wool to feel like his hairy brother. Because there's always one good-looking masculine twin. And then you have that over there. Look at him. Oh, I know. So then Danny puts on this coat. I mean, Jacob. And as he goes to his blind father, his father says, come closer so I can bless you. And the Bible says that the father touched his arm and he said, you feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. Have you ever been there where you feel one way, but you feel that you hear God telling you another? And God was telling him, he's lying, don't do it. But his father went by what he felt. Oh, you feel like Esau, so I'm just going to bless it. And the whole family got wrecked. Because if you go by your heart, you will make crooked decisions. You will live a crooked life. It sounds pretty. Follow your heart. It sounds wonderful. But God says you can't do it. So you're saying, well, Pastor, what do I do so that I don't stay stuck? Because I don't want to be just set free, but stuck in the middle in bondage and never reach the potential that God has for me. Here's my advice for you. I want to warn you against your feelings. Your feelings can't be trusted. God can. So just because your feelings can't be trusted and God can, this is my advice for this church this morning. Go with what you know. Let me explain this to you. If you're trapped by your emotions, you got to live by what you know about God. The Israelites knew that God was powerful because God literally split the sea for them. The Israelites knew that God protected them because God literally rained down fire and a hedge of protection around them from the Egyptians attacking them. So in just one day, they knew God is powerful and God is a protector. And in the same day, they knew God is a provider. He literally rained down food from heaven to feed them. He put water from the rock to provide water for them. So they knew He's powerful, He's a protector, and He's a provider. They knew that God also was one that guided them. He was a leader Because the Bible says that literally a fire came at night to guide them, and there was smoke in the daytime to guide them. So what did they know about God? He is a protector, He is a provider, He's powerful, and He is a leader. He knows where He's going. They knew all of this about God. But when they got to the promised land, it didn't matter what they knew, they went by what they felt. And when they got to the promised land, they said, "We feel like grasshoppers." And I started studying this. I said, why would you use, of all animals, a grasshopper? Because in that phrase, that word grasshopper seems to mean that it's something worthless. Something insignificant. Even though grasshoppers are pretty impressive because they can jump beyond what their body can do. And grasshoppers are great fighters. But they felt worthless. I wonder how many of you feel like that today. You feel worthless. Here's an interesting thing about grasshoppers. They get taken advantage of. Did you know that flies land on grasshoppers and they lay their eggs inside them? And as these eggs begin to hatch, it eats them from the inside out and they die? I wonder how many of you have been taken advantage of like that. And I wonder how many thoughts has the devil put inside you that's eating away on the inside of you. And you're slowly dying because you have these negative thoughts that have been planted inside you. And you feel worthless. And you feel hopeless. So even though they knew God was powerful, God was a protector, God was a provider, and God had a special plan for them and He was guiding them, it didn't matter what they knew about God, they went by what they felt about themselves. And some of you are stuck today because you know God is a provider. You know God is powerful. You know God is a way maker. You know He can get you out. But deep down inside you say, I know this about God, but I feel different. And I feel this way about myself. Why did they feel like grasshoppers? It's because like the Israelites, maybe like you this morning, the Israelites dealt with abuse. The Israelites were emotionally and physically and verbally abused for years. When they were in Egypt, the Bible says that Pharaoh looked at them and they were bigger than the Egyptians. The Bible says that Pharaoh was scared of them because they could outnumber them and take over. So Pharaoh put them in bondage. How does someone more strong and more powerful get in bondage? You allow it. And Pharaoh began to demean them and tell them that they were worthless. And he began to cause them to forget who they were. And every day, in some way or another, they were physically abused, emotionally abused, or verbally abused. And when you're going through that abuse long enough, you begin to believe it. And maybe there's someone in your life you're thinking of right now. You see, every relationship struggles, but you should never put up with abuse. You should never let anyone touch you. You should never let anyone verbally attack you and insult you. You should never allow a person to emotionally damage you. And if you put up with it long enough, it begins to damage your self-esteem. You begin to forget who you really are. And the person has you stuck in bondage because they have made you feel that you're less than. And there are so many people in the church today who carry with them the past of abuse. And it could have been a spouse. It could have been your parents. It could have been a friend. It could have been an individual, someone you trusted. But they verbally, they physically, and they just mentally abused you. They told you certain things to kill your self-esteem. Emotionally, they made you feel worthless. They made you feel like you were less than. They made you feel insignificant. You see, well, I'm going to tell you a truth here. I believe they felt like grasshoppers, not at that moment in the promised land. I believe they felt like grasshoppers in Egypt. And they carried it with them the entire journey. And some of you, God is on this journey with you to greatness, but you're carrying this grasshopper syndrome. And you're stuck because of your past. You're stuck on an ex-spouse or friend that did or said something to you, and you're stuck on what they said, and you're feeling like, I'm worthless. God was about to take them out of that abuse. But the Israelites had no idea that they were stronger than their abusers. See, I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning. But you are better than that, what that person has said about you. You are stronger than what you think. You are more beautiful than how they've made you feel. And you have to learn to let go of the past. To embrace the future that God wants for you. They carried this grasshopper mentality that stopped their destiny. And if you can't let go of what someone has done to you, what someone has said to you, and you carry this mindset that you're worthless and you're good for nothing, and you carry with you this low self-esteem because of people, can I just tell you that people aren't worth your destiny? People aren't worth the future that God has for you? And I feel sorry for anyone that has been abused emotionally, physically, or mentally, whatever. But today, that should stop. And you should realize that right now, you are not going to put up with any more abuse from anyone. If you're in a relationship right now that man is making you feel worthless, you need to leave. You need to separate if you're married to them. I'm not advocating divorce, but I'm saying don't you put up with that another day. If you're carrying this emotional bondage because of your Egypt and what happened yesterday, God wants you to know if you can only see what I have for you tomorrow. But here's my warning. Go by what you know. Not by what you feel, because you're not always going to feel right. You're going to feel like quitting. You're going to feel like giving up. You're going to feel like you're the worst person ever. You're going to feel like you're not even safe sometimes. But you can't go by what you feel. Well, Pastor, you don't know my past. You don't know what I've been through. Some of you abuse yourself. There's no one verbally insulting you. You're just talking to yourself abusively. And you're telling yourself because of your past and your mistake and what you did yesterday, God can never forgive me. God can never change me. God can never bring me a man. Who was that for? God can never give me that promotion. God can never do this because you don't know. I don't know, but God does. And He still wants you to get out of that bondage and into a life of destiny and promise. There's a war going on between you. What you know and what you feel. Can I illustrate it for you? Do you know that sometimes I don't even feel like a good pastor? Can I tell you sometimes Frankie doesn't feel like she's a good worship leader? Frankie, am I preaching truth? Do you know there's days I feel like quitting? There's days I feel like, man, this is horrible. I can't do this anymore. But you know why I stand here on this stage every Sunday with you? Because I know God has called me. I know God has anointed me. I know that God wants me here. So you have, there's a battle. Every day I'm preaching, the battle is there between my heart and my head. And the devil says, don't you feel worthless? Don't you feel like you're not good enough? Don't you feel like you're not smart enough? And I say, devil, I feel it, but I also know what I know about God. And God has called me. God has predestined me. So I may not feel like a good Christian sometimes. I mean, you know, have those days you don't feel like a good Christian? I mean, feel like God is just mad at you? I just feel like God is disappointed. The devil wants you to go by that. Let me ask you, what do you know about God? You're stronger than your enemy. That's the whole point about this passage. They were stronger than the enemies in Egypt, and they were mightier than the enemies in the Promised Land. What do you think God's message is? You're better than what you feel. You're stronger than what you think. You've just been stuck on your past. You just allowed people to verbally, emotionally, and physically put you in the state of grasshopper syndrome. You've allowed people to make you feel worthless. You've allowed people to dictate your value and your self-worth. Who am I preaching to this morning? Do you feel the battle going on between you? Between what you feel and what you know? Many people are dying, never living the life God wants them to live. Because your entire life you've been run by your feelings. I don't feel smart enough, so I'm not going to try to go back to school. I don't feel spiritual enough, so I'm not going to try that ministry out. I don't feel like my marriage is worth fixing, so I'm just going to get a divorce. I don't feel appreciated, so I'm just going to quit this job. Do you see how the devil allows this crooked way of living because of your crooked heart? And I know that there are things inside you that are eating inside out right now. I have a serious case in this church of grasshopper syndrome. A lot of you feel like you're less than who you really are. And God was telling them, you're stronger than your past. You're stronger than the Egyptians. You just didn't know it. You're stronger than your enemies in the future, your promised land. You just haven't realized it. Because in between this journey of where they were set free and where God wanted for them, their emotions got in the way. So I'm warning you this morning as we close. Your emotions can rob you of the plans that God has for your life. God may have it all prepared for you and all lined up for you, but you're talking yourself out of it. Let me give you some examples. I hear it all the time. See, you might say today, how many of you know without a doubt that the Word of God says that God loves you? Oh, Pastor, I know He loves me. But see how different it feels when I ask you this? Do you feel like He loves you? Doesn't that change quickly? Oh, I know He loves me, but I don't feel like He does right now. Do you believe God can forgive your sins? Oh, I know He can forgive, but I don't feel like He can forgive me. I know He's a way maker, but I don't feel like He can make a way for me. You see how what you feel can get away from the truth of God? How many of you know you should forgive your enemies? I know you don't like that one. That's quiet. And how many of you know you're not always going to feel like forgiving your enemies? So some of you stay in bitterness and you stay in resentment and unforgiveness because you know God says you should forgive them, but you don't feel it and you don't want to be a hypocrite. You know you should be in church, but sometimes you don't feel it. You know you should respect and honor your spouse, but you're not always going to feel like it. You're saying, Pastor, you don't know my spouse. But what does God say? Oh, I know I should respect her. I know I should love her. I know I should honor her. But I don't feel like it because she's mean. But what if for a second, you say, God, I'm not going to run my life by what I feel, but what I know. So even if I feel like you don't love me, I'm going to declare you love me. And even if I don't feel like you can forgive me, I'm going to declare, I know you can forgive me. I know as far as the east is from the west, you have removed my transgression. And you declare what you know to be true about God. What if you say, I don't feel like a way is going to be made for me. I don't feel like a door is going to be open. But I know I serve a way maker and he's going to do it for me. And you proclaim, God is going to do it. And you step outside of that realm of what you feel and live by what you know. You're going to say, I don't feel like forgiving them, but I'm going to do it. Because I know it's right. I don't feel like loving them, but I'm going to do it because I know it's right. We need to stop being people that wait to feel it to do it. The church is dying today because everyone wants to feel good. We want a feel good gospel. We want a feel good ministry. So what happens? We get this mindset that we develop and we said, I need to feel it to do it. And we need to stop trying to feel good or feel right. And we just got to start being right. There are so many people in the Bible that had the battle between the mind and the heart. There are so many people that overcame great obstacles because they went by what they knew about God and not by what they felt about life. The book of Romans, Paul. This is Paul talking to a church that was being persecuted. And life was hard. And maybe you're here this morning saying, Pastor, my life is hard. And Paul writes in Romans 8, I know that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. So he was telling these people, I know you're going to get out of this. And I know it's hard right now. I know it doesn't make sense right now. And life is difficult. But I'm going to tell you what I know about God. He loves you. And nothing could ever separate that from you. And because Paul stood on the knowledge of God and not the emotions of his life, he was able to declare with his mouth that God loved him. And he overcame the accuser when the devil said, not you, Paul. You're a sinner. You persecuted Christians. And now you're talking to persecuted Christians. Christians, you're a hypocrite. And Paul probably felt like he was a hypocrite. But he said, I know nothing can separate me from the love of God. I know, he declared it. I know. He went by what he knew, not what he felt. You guys get it? Job 19:25, he says, I know my Redeemer lives. Job, he lost his family. He lost everything, his business. He lost his health. How many know Job was having a bad day? And it got worse when his wife just looked at him and said, why don't you curse God and die? You know you have marriage problems when your wife wants you dead? Come on. If your wife looks at you in the eyes and says, why don't you die already? You can come counseling with me and say, Pastor, I think I have a marriage problem. My wife wants me dead. So Job had no support from his wife. You imagine his children die, he lost his job, he's sick, everything's falling apart. And inside he goes, at least I still have you, baby. And he's like, don't call me baby, I wish you were dead. And Job's like, I have no one. You ever felt like life has been so hard, you have no one? You ever felt like, God, I don't know what you're doing, but you've taken so much from me? And Job could have had his pity party. He could have felt bad. He could have felt angry with God. He could have felt bitter. He could have felt all these emotions that would have just gotten him destroyed. But Job got himself out of it because he said, I what? I know that my Redeemer lives. I know God is still around. So I don't care what the devil tries to take from me. I don't care what I go through. I'm not going to go by what I feel. I'm going to go by what I know. And I know my Redeemer lives. So we have Paul that said, I know nothing can separate me from God. We have Job that said, I know my Redeemer lives. We have David that says, I know that even now God's hand will guide me. When David felt lost, David felt confused, David felt abandoned, his emotions were everywhere, but he stood on what he knew about God. Even now, I know God's hand is on me. What you know will determine where you go. Stop going by what you feel all the time, because you're not always going to feel spiritual. You're not always going to feel right with God. You're not always going to feel anointed. You're not always going to feel it. But if you are a person of discipline and say, I'm going to stand on what I know. Then maybe I can come out of this. 18 inches, everyone say it, 18 inches. Come on, stand to your feet today. 18 inches. I want you for a second to point to your hand right now, point here. Now point to your heart. How quick was that? Do it again. How quick? That's how quick your life can change. Right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you this morning, if you're listening online, I love you. And I want you to pray this with me. But for a moment, I want you to declare to God what you feel right now. You tell him the worst feelings. You tell him, Lord, I feel, and you just throw it out there. What do you feel? Maybe you feel like God can't forgive you. Maybe you feel like you are too crazy. So I want you to raise your hand today if you're telling me today by act of confession, you're saying, Pastor, my heart has been leading me the wrong way and I need help. Just show me your hands right now saying, Pastor, I'm controlled by my thoughts. I'm controlled by my feelings. God bless you. Hey, if you're here this morning, this is a bold prayer, but if you're here, every eye is closed, every head is bowed, no one's looking around, just God and me. You're saying, Pastor, I'm dealing with the passive abuse right now, emotionally, physically, verbally. You show me your hands right now. You say, Pastor, I'm dealing with that right now. In Jesus' name, whoever that person was, and I say was because they're gone, let them go. Let them go. You are mightier than what you feel. You are greater than what that person has made you feel. You are mightier and greater, and you have a destiny in your future. No person is worth the plans that God has for your life. You need to release them in Jesus' name. You need to stand on what you know about God. Stand on His Word. If you would just say, Lord, I don't feel it, but I know it. It will deliver you from fear, from anxiety, from bondage. And right now you're saying, Pastor, I don't feel like Jesus can forgive me. I don't feel like He can love me. I feel like I'm way too bad of a sinner. I dare you to man up and give your life to Jesus today. and go by what you know. He loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. And if you just stop your emotions right now and surrender your life to Jesus, He will do a mighty work in your life, because the devil wants you to stop. The devil wants you stuck. The devil wants you miserable. But God says, not only can I deliver you, I delivered you for a purpose. I don't want you just saved. I want you saved with joy and purpose and promise and destiny. Come on, everyone, if you're here this morning, do you just want to be free, or do you want to be free indeed? Do you want to be free, or do you want to just live a life stuck while you wait to go to heaven? That's not the life that I want. I want what God has died for me to have. I want to reach the land of promise. I want to reach my destiny. I don't want to stay stuck in the middle and die wondering what I could have been, what I should have been, because I serve a God that says, I am greater than what you are, and I have a plan for your life. So no matter what the enemy tried to steal from you, don't you let him do it another day longer. And you say right now with your mouth, I know my Redeemer lives. I know nothing can separate me from His love. I know even now His hand is upon me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, for everyone here who's in the battle between the mind and the heart, for every grasshopper in the church that feels worthless and small and fearful, and there's things inside them eating from the inside out, for every person that has been abused, neglected, for every person that feels worthless, Jesus, I pray that they will stand on your word and what they know about you, that no matter what they've done, no matter who they are, no matter what they feel, your word stands to be true above all things, above all people, above all circumstances, and above all the attacks of the enemy. And I pray, Lord, that in this church you would get someone unstuck and into the promise of what you have. Release them, Father, in Jesus' name. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, right where you're at, whether you're here or you're listening online, I want you to pray this with me from your heart. You just say, Lord Jesus, today I confess with my mouth that you are Lord, and today I surrender my life to you. I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that you died on the cross for my sins. So today, Lord, I surrender, and I ask you to have me, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give him a shout of praise this morning if you guys have been blessed by this word. Do you guys believe right now that you're going to walk by what you know and not what you feel? How many of you have some forgiving to do? Come on. How many of you have some mindsets to change? How many of you have some people in your life you're going to have to stop thinking about all the time, and you need to let them go? I hope you guys were blessed by today's word.